Welcome to the Bev Boys Basketball Broadcast, where we talk Bev's basketball. That's pretty much it, for the most part, honestly. Sometimes other things, but that's pretty much it. My name is Nick, as you all know.
I'm Tyler.
I'm Alvin. Hi.
So let's get this whole thing going. Let's see what y'all got Bev-wise. Tyler, what you got for us?
Yeah, I'm not gonna lie. I totally forgot about Bev's, so I just have milk today.
That's literally one of two liquids that we said not to use.
Wasn't that was like on the list of things that were like, these do not count as Bev's
right now.
You could have brought some lotion and just consumed that.
Take one for the team, man.
Yeah. Could have done
just
that.
Just like walking down the street to the store. It's like, ugh. I don't know. I'm sorry. Won't happen again, I swear.
What's the point of living in a walkable community if you're not going to walk?
Make some good.
Yeah. Oh, I walk, baby.
Yeah. Facts.
Did you guys see the Super Bowl commercial with him in it? What's his real name? Is it Jason Alexander?
Yes.
Yeah.
The Jason Alexander hoodie.
Yes, actually.
Oh my god, that was fantastic. That's best.
Yeah, that one was really good. Obviously, like, the Super Bowl wasn't gonna be like what it's been in years past, and I wasn't expecting anything, but it was still mid, like for what it was. Like, I don't know. Jason Alexander one is pretty good.
Well then, Alvin, what you got for us, Bev-wise?
All right. So I have said that I'm from the Philippines, which I think is why I like basketball, among other things. I also like mangoes, my favorite fruit. So I have Philippine brand mango juice nectar.
Ooh.
Yes, sir. Nice. Yes, sir. We'll give it the quick open.
You're not a big fan of the nectar.
What?
Have you drank this before? Or is this a new thing?
I've had this before, but not in a long time. Because this is really sweet. Mango-based products are usually super sweet, and this is no exception.
Where did you find that? Do you have to go like an Asian market to get something like that? I feel like 7-Eleven doesn't have something like that. So
Definitely not. I've kind of exhausted everything that I've wanted from 7-Eleven. It's basically there. It's like chocolate milk. And then there was that episode where it was like not very good yerba mate.
Mm.
Yeah. So I was at the local Asian market buying Asian stuff, and I came across this Asian beverage. So pretty happy.
Oh, hell yeah.
Did you get the, what's that flavor of Top Ramen, the Oriental flavor of Top Ramen?
That's an aggressive flavor, man, if you ask me.
The Oriental flavor.
That's also the worst one. I'm going to just say it. I'll be on record.
I honestly can't think of a single time I've ever had Oriental flavor.
Yeah, I
put on you.
It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, it's just, it's like either chicken or the
chili.
The spicy one. Yeah, the chili one.
Got to go That's chili. It.
Yeah, chili every time. Chili is the only one that makes you feel like you're not like
make you feel
at
alive.
The bottom of the barrel. Yeah.
Big time.
Yeah. All right, Nick, what you got?
Let's see it.
Okay. So I see these at the store all the time, and I was finally like, all right, you know, cool. I'll check it out. It's the Fit Aid drink. They've got a lot of different ones.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, man, I'm a fit guy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and you need some help, apparently.
Life, yeah. This one, one is for to recover because I'm starting to get back in shape. Starting to get it going this week. I'm eating better. I'm exercising, so I'm feeling better. But you know, these muscles need recovery, so I'm going Fit Aid. It's the citrus medley. Oh. It's got BCAAs, glucosamine, CoQ10. CoQ10 is good for energy. I know that because my grandma takes CoQ10 as part of her daily supplements. So omega-3s,
that's pretty good. Yes.
CoQ10 for when CoQ9 is not enough, I guess.
Yes. Gotta you got to go 10. 10. Yeah. No, 10. No.
Yeah.
No 9.
You're going double digits.
No 8.
11 is way too much. Just yeah. 10.
Talking double digits or bust.
Yeah. 8 is late.
It kind of tastes like Airborne. So a little Airborne tablet in the water to like prevent you
chalky
from getting sick.
So yeah, it tastes chalky.
Like, not so chalky, but like that same kind of like weird, slightly weird aftertaste, but kind of citrusy.
Yeah.
Is it good or is it gross?
I mean, I could drink it and it's fine. I probably wouldn't want to drink it again. But you know, I got it, so
yeah. Well, I'm
gonna drink it.
Is there caffeine or no?
45 milligrams of natural caffeine.
That's not too much.
That's no, like that's like half a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
So it's nothing to me, in the words of Shaq.
Not like pre-workout that's got 400 milligrams.
300. Well, 250 to 300, depending on what you get, but. Yeah, so it's nothing. It's nothing to me.
It's a lot either way, man. It's a lot either way, dude.
Yeah, I usually like cycle through like not taking anything to like give myself a break so I don't get too used to
it. Yeah. Speaking of it being a lot, my Bev has 32 grams of sugar in total.
Ooh, wow. All right, that'll
get you a lot. It's a lot. That's it'll get me going. I'm going to try not to drink more than half of this tonight because –
there you go.
I'll get a little wired.
A little wacky.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Well, we got the Bevs covered. Bevs are good to go. Now it's time to get into some basketball. Looking into some basketball news. I'm not sure how much you guys know about what's been going on as far as like them trying to get going on this year.
Hey, Nick. Do you want to
see what you guys think about this? I personally think it's silly.
Yeah, for a second.
Yeah. Do you want to just start over again from that part and I'll edit it?
Yeah, that works.
Yeah. The transition from the Bevs. Cool.
Okay.
Hang on one sec.
Okay. Okay. So we got the Bevs covered. Let's talk some basketball for a second here. Going into some basketball news. I want to see what you guys know about this as far as the NBA trying to get an all-star game going on this season. With everything going on, like, it just seems really dumb to me. And I mean, obviously it's like you got to get that money. So that's the only reason why. But like, it just seems silly to me. I want to see what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I think so. Shout out All the Smoke, like one of my favorite podcasts out there right now. Doc Rivers was on it a few weeks back and he was talking about how hard this season has been just because like one of the greatest things about traveling in the NBA is traveling to a new city, going to check out some restaurants, checking out like the scene, the nightlife, all that stuff. But all of that is gone this year. You absolutely cannot do that. All you're allowed to do is go straight from your like bus or your plane and straight to the hotel, which has already been enough of a like a sacrifice for people. And you could make an argument and I could make an argument too that like the NBA shouldn't be happening right now with like a pandemic raging and all this stuff, but what definitely shouldn't be happening is that a bunch of players from a ton of different teams are converging in one place in Atlanta of all places. Like, no one wants this. Doc Rivers didn't say anything about this, but it's clear if you were to ask him a direct question, he wouldn't want this either. Like, I'll put his words in his mouth too. Like,
well, not to mention it's meant for the fans and there won't be any fans there. So it's like, why would the players ever care about playing with each other for some little game when the fans can be there to enjoy it? It doesn't mean anything anyway. There's no incentive for them to play this game.
Yeah. I think the only incentive is cash, right? Like, NBA's got to make money. They're hemorrhaging money right now. And
how much is this going to really help them, though?
I don't have a, like, idea on how much that would help, like in terms of like specific value. But I am sure that it would help in some way or another, like at least like television ratings, people are going to tune in to watch it.
But if people get sick because of it, then more games are going to get postponed and then, you know, the league could be canceled again. It just doesn't seem like it's worth the risk.
I agree. So
yeah, absolutely. I mean, all of the big players have all like kind of come out and said like, yeah, this is, I don't want it. I would really rather not do this. Like there's no point. De'Aaron Fox, LeBron James, like all these guys are kind of just like, this is dumb. But obviously the NBA needs to, it is a business. You got to get your money, whatever, whatever. But it's kind of just like, this is one of those really unnecessary things that you could just not do this year. Like if you're going to preach about safety and like caring about your players and that kind of thing, it's just like, just leave this one thing out. You still have the whole season. You've got the playoffs. You've got all the TV money coming in. Like just don't do this one thing for this year.
Yeah.
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 But I think teams who played deep in the playoffs last year are pretty much exhausted. They could really use a good week off. I know that's what LeBron James was saying. He's like, yo, we had like a month and a half off. Like, I need a break. Yeah. I don't want to play this exhibition game that doesn't mean a damn thing to me that the fans won't be able to enjoy. Like, I feel for those guys too.
Yeah.
Usually, like, All-Star games are usually like super boring as it is. This one I think is going to be even worse because there's less people, if any, people in the crowd, and the players are really not going to care. Like, they're going to be like, what's the point?
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I don't see how the NBA could motivate these players, and I don't even think they'd want to be motivated at this point. Like, it's kind of like we've all been in school at one point where we're just like working through the semester and working till spring break or something like that, where we know we're going to get a week of reprieve and the ability to hang out with our family or our friends or whomever or do whatever. And I'm sure the same is for players in the NBA. Like the pandemic is mentally taxing, like, and it's mentally taxing for them too. And they deserve a break.
Yeah. I mean, like, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. It seems like it's pretty much set in stone at this point from what I've seen is like, it's almost guaranteed that it's going to happen. They've already kind of got everything figured out and it's going to be Atlanta. So I wouldn't be surprised if there's a good amount of people in the crowd because it is Atlanta.
Like, there were so many people at the Utah game that I was watching last night. I don't know if y'all saw that. Did you see that, Tyler? There's so many players. There's so many people. It almost looked like it was full. Like it wasn't completely full.
You've got people like courtside. Like that's crazy to me. Like it's one thing if you put them on like a higher bowl or something like that.
Yeah.
But you've got them courtside. Like that's like that's insane. Like you can't keep track of courtside people like you can keep track of like your players. Like, you know, your players are following protocol and everything, but like, you don't know, especially in Atlanta, like you or Utah or something, like you don't know what these people coming in to watch this game courtside or where they've been, like if they're, you know, caring about this at all.
Yeah.
It's just one, crazy.
One last thing, and then we can transition into the Jazz, I suppose, but because I definitely want to talk about them. But once again, all the goodwill that the NBA has generated, at least for someone like me who's working my ass off to stay safe and like not be like to be a team player and like working against COVID and keeping people around me safe and healthy and that type of thing, I think it's ridiculous to see like arenas that are even half full or to see people like that. And I know that we don't really have any clout because there's only six people who have listened to this podcast. And you know what? I'm going to use every bit of clout that we have without asking you to say, NBA, you're fucking it up. You need to change things up. And like if you're going to continue with the NBA, which is one thing, you've got to stop having players there and you got to not do the All-Star game. That's it.
Yeah.
So, all right. Shall we talk about the Jazz? We'll talk about the Jazz and we'll talk about four other teams really quick. So
let's do it.
Tyler brought this up in the group chat that we've got in the chat. The five best lineups in the NBA.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. So So the Kings are one of them. So let's just go through each team really quick, I think, and then just let's talk briefly, just really briefly about what each team is doing well and where they're going. So first up's the Jazz, where that lineup of Conley Mitchell, Royce O'Neal, Bojan Bogdanovic, and Rudy Gobert is a plus 16.3 in 260 minutes, which is the most minutes compared to the other four best lineups in the NBA by a good 60 minutes or so, or a good 30 minutes or so.
Yeah. Which, I mean, that makes sense considering, like, you look at these other lineups in this list, all of them are ones that came into the season where, like, all these teams are, like, trying to figure out because they've got new people coming in to figure out. Whereas this Jazz team, these are all guys that were here last year and probably years before that for the most part. So, like, they know already. They've already got this whole thing set for the most part. But that makes sense that they would have, like, way more minutes than everybody else.
Yeah.
But it's a cool lineup. I mean, you've got defense at four of the five positions and a lot of shooting, and you've got good size at all the, like, positions basically too. Like,
I think it's only three out of five guys can play defense. I mean, Mitchell and Bojan, they don't play much defense.
Well, Donovan, Mitchell can when he, like, he's got the size, he's got the super crazy reach and athleticism. Like, when he wants to, I think he's able to, like, lock down people in the same way that, like, De'Aaron Fox can, basically, whenever he wants to, but doesn't.
I saw SLC Dunk on SB Nation wrote an article saying, I think it's time to give up on Donovan Mitchell's defense. So wow. I think
that's
fans are pretty much just like, he's James Harden for us. He's just going to score. If he wants to play defense, he will, but it's probably not going to happen too often. That was kind of the that I got.
That's interesting. Because I feel like he wasn't that when he came into the league. Like, he was, like, a pretty good defender.
Mitchell's kind of, over the years, he's kind of been a little bit more cavalier, I feel like, in his, like, playing one-on-one as opposed to, like, working inside of the schemes of the offense, which is great for Mitchell. Like, he's an excellent one-on-one player, and they need that. Yeah. They need him to develop that, especially in the playoffs. But if that comes at cost of defense, then that's what is happening, I guess. So
it happens a lot in around the league these days.
Yeah.
I mean, they got Conley and they have Gobert and O'Neal. All those guys are great defenders, so I think they can afford
it. Yeah. They can afford it. Yeah. And I should say really quick, shout out Mike Conley. He's been incredible this year. He's been
statistically
in regards to efficiency, one of the best players in the NBA. And it's just, he's so much more comfortable out there just throwing lobs to Gobert. He's never really had to do that before. Like, just working off a, like, main ball handler like Mitchell and feeding Bogdanovic as well and all these things. And he's doing a great job. So
that's cool.
I noticed last year, if you check his, like, month by month statistics, he improved every month last season. So, like, it was clearly just like, he just has to adjust to being on a different team after being in Memphis for 10 plus years, you know?
Yeah,
it's understandable.
So it's cool to get back to that level of play.
Yeah. And I never admit that to a Jazz fan because Jazz fans are spiteful.
They're the worst.
Sorry, Jazz fans who are listening to this.
We lived in Utah. We can say it. We've experienced
it. We know.
Yeah. I'm still in Utah. I'm still experiencing it. People bring up how the Jazz are 20-5 and going to go to the finals more often than I would like to hear. Which, could they be going to the finals? Maybe. Who knows? If they keep this, like, gravy train going, they're at the very least eight deep. They have eight starting caliber players.
Their bench is good.
Yeah.
They're such a cool team.
Ingles. Yeah. And who's their sixth
Clarkson?
Clarkson.
Jordan Clarkson. Yeah, he's a stud. Pinoy pride, bro. Philippines.
Yeah.
Right
there.
Hey, yeah, you know what it is.
And they got a great coach too, mind you.
Yeah. Love that guy on and off the court.
Looks like he just did a bump of cocaine, but you know what?
Oh, he's
bored
He looks like he's always coming out of a gnarly bender, but
sultry.
Hey, he gets it done.
Yeah, exactly. Another team that gets it done, LA Lakers, plus 17.1 in 232 minutes, which is a lot of minutes. Lineup is Dennis Schroeder, KCP, LeBron James, basically their starting lineup, Anthony Davis, Marc Gasol. What's going on there? What do y'all like?
Yeah, that's another one. That's like five, all five positions have good defense there. And
Schroeder?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He's playing good. He's playing decent defense this year. He hasn't always, like on the Hawks, he wasn't, but last year with the Thunder, he was playing good defense. And then this year, he's actually carried it along too. So,
yeah. He's kind of a thin dude. He's not super strong, but I guess he's athletic.
Yeah. He's super fast and like quick. yeah. So, like, defense at every position. You've got like two different guys who can be like a defensive anchor for you, basically, in Gasol and Davis. And then you've got Davis and James, who are both top five players like in the world, basically. So it's pretty good.
I think adding Marc Gasol to the mix just increases their passing too. I mean, it never hurts. And a guy with an IQ and experience like him is just going to unlock all kinds of little things for them.
Yeah. Plus, he can stretch the floor too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just adding more intelligence on the court always helps, right? Like, that helps more than most other things. So, yeah. And then the Lakers are deep too. They've got a lot of players. Also, Casey, I just have to say, KCP has looked better than he ever has been. Also, like,
good for
more
him,
comfortable,
man.
More comfortable. It looks like he feels like he's accepted finally. Like, he typically played like a high school kid who's going to his first cool people party, and he's freaking out trying to impress everyone. Yeah, y'all know. But he looks like he's fitting in, so. Good for them. Not much to say about the Lakers. We can talk about the Clippers, though. Plus 25.4 goes to Patrick Beverley, Paul George, Kawhi Leonard, Nicholas Batum, and Serge Ibaka. 25.4 in 175 minutes. What are you guys' take on that?
Boy, did they get better this year.
Yeah.
Ibaka and Batum. Just like...
Yeah, Batum's been pretty good, actually.
Last year, pretty impressive. Yeah.
Where did he come from? He was like a shell of himself. Like years ago. Yeah. Like, even last year, he looked... not good.
Now he's in a role that makes sense for him. You know, he
was
to be their number one guy for some reason, mm-hmm. and now he's their fifth guy, if that, you know. He can just do the little things like he was doing in Portland, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. One tidbit that's kind of interesting that I either learned, or I read, or heard. In coming to the Clippers, he studied other glue players, specifically Boris Diaw. In figuring out how he got to his spots, despite being pretty heavy set and not super duper athletic, but just like using his length and like the intelligence to fill in the gaps around players and do what needs to be done. So we could always use more Boris Diaw in this league.
Hell yeah, man. He was cool.
Big boy right there. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Love that. Love that guy. He's on the Jazz too, so maybe
there's
some.
I remember serving him at the restaurant me and Tyler worked at back in the day in Utah. He was super nice. Yeah, he was like the nicest guy. It was awesome. He came in with, I don't know, a couple of his parents or something, but yeah, it was like, oh my god, that's Forrest. Yeah, that's sick.
Yeah,
he's French, right?
He's French. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's classic French guy.
Big time French.
Yeah, there's a lot of good stories about Boris Diaw. Maybe we can go into that in the future. I've got a lot of them. Fourth team on this list is another Boris Diaw team, the San Antonio Spurs. Lineup of Patty Mills, DeJounte Murray, Devin Vassell, Rudy Gay, and Jakob Poeltl, plus 23.5 in 120 minutes. Shout out Utes. Go Utes.
That's right.
Yeah.
You know?
How random is that lineup? Like, who would have ever guessed that is like one of
It's a little obscure.
No DeRozan, no Aldridge, Like, what?
It's basically their bench.
Yeah, pretty much, except for Murray.
Mills and Murray are starting, right? Oh, no.
I don't think Mills is starting. I think it's just DeJounte Murray.
Yeah, Derek White starts next to DeJounte Murray. So their starting lineup is Murray, Derek White, DeMar DeRozan,
Aldridge,
and then I forgot who they play at the four. Keldon Johnson is who they've been playing at the four a lot lately. Anyways, Devin Vassell is someone that we really liked and we're hoping would fall to the Kings before Tyrese Haliburton became a possibility.
Yeah. Absolutely. He was my first choice before, because I didn't even think Haliburton was going to be there. I was like, there's no way he falls in 12. He was supposed to be like top five. But so, yeah, Vassell was like my first pick. So it's cool to see that kind of come into fruition a little bit. And that's a cool landing spot for him, honestly. This is a cool lineup of like young guys and veterans. Shout out Rudy Gay playing the four. That's cool, man.
Nice young guys.
Honestly. Yeah.
Yeah.
This next year, they're going to lose Aldridge, DeRozan, Gay, and Mills. It's like all their big contracts, all the old vets, they're gone. And it's going to be like Murray and Pirtle and White, Lonnie Walker, Vassell. Like all those guys next year are going to get a chance to really show us what they got. And I'm excited.
That'll be interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if y'all watched that game from last week, I think it was, or is it the start of this week, where the Spurs beat the Golden State Warriors it was like a healthy win. And DeJounte Murray, I think it was, I'm trying to find the stats because they played him back to back in like a baseball style setup, but DeJounte Murray put up like 27 points, 10 assists, and 8 steals.
Dang.
I know he's kind of.
And he like hit the like clutch three to seal the game, basically, against the Warriors. So that was pretty crazy.
Definitely curious to see what he can do in the future. How old is he? Like 24 or something?
He's still pretty young.
In 2016, maybe he's even younger than that. Because we could have picked him, but we chose Scal-Labissiere instead.
Neat.
That's okay.
Scal. Scal will be the butt of so many. Like we will forever be the butt of many Kings jokes.
Gosh.
Speaking of the Kings.
Speaking of the Kings.
Good news about the Kings.
Yeah, let's hear some good news, huh?
Yeah, plus 28.9, 200 minutes. That's a lot of minutes, we should say. Like, go into Fox, Haliburton, Hield, Barnes, and Rashawn Holmes. What's going well here?
Closing time, man. That's the guys that are getting games finished, winning for us. And it's a beautiful thing to watch. Just the amount of passing, IQ, shooting, you get rid of the Bagley Holmes conundrum, and it just feels like a lineup that makes sense and is a veteran presence and all-star potential, honestly, with Fox, you know. So
Bagley, huh? Get rid of the cargo shorts. You put on some like some like decently form-fitting pants and you know, you strut your stuff.
Nice. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, it's a cool lineup because I mean, Fox has become like a closer. Like he's the guy. He's an all-star. Straight up, that's it. He's an all-star. He's playing better than almost anybody right now. Turns out Haliburton is like stupid clutch, and like is just awesome. Hield can be too. Like. When he's on, he can kind of close games. Barnes is always like a reliable dude who can kind of just do a little bit of everything. And he's been playing probably the best basketball of his career. And then Holmes will just do whatever you got to do to get it done, basically. So it's just like you've got playmaking, you've got shooting at well, four of the five now with Fox shooting like 37% this year. You've got four guys who can stretch the floor, and then Holmes, who's just going to hustle and grind and, you know, just be all over the place basically. And you've got good defense at, you know, three or four positions, and he'll try, and he's getting better.
Halliburton's hands on defense are unbelievable.
That he's dude awesome. Picks off so his like anticipation.
Ridiculous.
Watching that that Sixers Kings game last night was like a masterclass in ball, like anticipating where the ball's going. That was so impressive to see. Yeah, and it's not stuff like, I mean, I'm on the like watching, and I feel like I have a pretty good view of what's going on like on the court, and I could never anticipate that he like gets those or deflects passes or anything like that. Like the deflections won't show up in the stat sheet. Like they're not always going to turn into straight up steals, but those are so important and so valuable. And
yeah,
we haven't had someone who does those types of things in ages, really. So
yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Nick, I don't know if you're on your phone or not. Just.
Yeah. Kind of following up with the Kings here. It's been super fun to watch them start to actually play super well and kind of see them buying in and everything like that. But it's also kind of bittersweet because it's just like, yo, I still really want them to get a good pick next year. And it's just like, what, like, like, is this what you guys want? Like, how are you guys feeling as they start playing better and they like actually start getting things going?
Fuck the draft. Let's go to the playoffs. It's already too late.
It would be so easy for us to slip into like 13th place in the West or 14th or 15th place. Not 15th. It wouldn't be easy to slip into 15th, but it'd be easy to slip into like 14th place in the West.
Super. Just
drop like three straight games and we're back. Like,
but so. We need ideally a top five pick. This roster is not a bottom five team in the NBA. Not by a long shot. And maybe we get top 10, top 15, then you're relying on ping pong balls. I don't know, man. It's just kind of like, what does it do to their mentality? Guys like Fox, especially, who they're winning games, they're killing it. Maybe they're 500, which we haven't done in 2 years and before that, years and years and years. And then you trade Barnes and you trade Buddy, maybe Holmes, and you just tear it down. Like, what is that going to do to those guys, like Fox and Halliburton? I don't know.
I'm at this point, if we're doing I'm okay with keeping Buddy at this point. I really still think we need to trade Barnes this year because I think he's always going to be solid, but there's no way he has another season like this season. And you kind of have to capitalize on that when you have an asset like him who's playing the best of his career, and there's no way he plays this well again like next year or the years after that. It's like you got to capitalize on that now, especially when you have teams like Boston who, like, I've read articles like of like yesterday or 2 days ago of them saying they're still like he's probably near the top of their list of people they're kind of interested in trade wise and it's like, if I can get their first rounder this upcoming year and like
Aaron Nesmith.
Nesmith, or there was another one, Romeo Langford, who's another like rookie or sophomore guy.
Sophomore.
Who's like, yeah, sophomore, who's like got good size and really good kind of potential to him. Like, if I can get that plus the 2021 first, like, I kind of have to do that at that point.
It's an interesting position to be in, I think.
Yeah.
I just have to say, like, because typically it's kind of a buyer's market for Harrison Barnes. People always need wing players who can pass, shoot, defend, and dribble. and he's out there and he's one of the best at it right now. And if we don't end up trading him, we can make a push for the playoffs. That's pretty cool. But if we do, but we could trade him, right? It's kind of interesting to be at that like crossroads. Whereas in the past, it's like, oh, this player very clearly is not a fit for the direction of the team.
Yeah.
So it leads to a bit of a conundrum, right? So
what's tough is like
right now. I mean, they're killing it.
Chemistry's never been better.
Yeah.
That's just a hard thing to happen, and then just to blow it up is kind of like a gut punch.
How good do you think they can actually be this year? Because I'm just worried that like this is just like we're getting close to like basketball purgatory again, where it's like we're good enough to maybe make the eighth seed, but like maybe, you know, but we're too good to get a good draft pick, that kind of thing. Like that's what I'm worried about, is we're getting into that area right now.
So let's make a trade and make a push.
Yeah.
Let's get more talent.
Jared Grant. Well, I kind of want to keep talking about this a little bit more before we go into our Jeremy Grant fantasies, but
that'd be amazing.
The last time we had chemistry like this, frankly, was with the scores. That was with Iman Shumpert playing.
Yeah.
Right? That was before the Harrison Barnes trade. There was great chemistry, and we were playing we shocked the NBA in how well we were playing, like, and how we were winning games and like coming close, like coming up in tight losses too. And I can't imagine as like just a straight up player, from the player perspective, how like demoralizing that is, where it's like you're building towards something, and then one of the core foundational pieces gets taken away, right? Like, I can't say that. And that goes not only for Harrison Barnes, but also Buddy Hield's been playing well too, even though he's not shooting like as well as he has in the past, but he's shored up so many other things, and he's simplified his game, and he's bought into like a very specific role, which has been really good too. And
He's playing the best basketball of his career out. Like, even though he's not shooting, like his shots aren't falling, he's playing the best basketball I've ever seen him play.
Yeah.
He's getting a lot of games where he'll get like 6 or 7 assists, which is pretty impressive for him.
And he's doing
like, no, don't pass the ball, you're horrible. But like,
yeah, he's making like smart team basketball like decisions, which is super cool.
I think importantly, like a lot of his assists in the past, like if you watch his previous games, it's from him trying to work off of a like pick and roll, and he's dribbling the ball and holding on to the ball and trying to get into the lane and doing these things. But this year it's quick passes. He's not holding on to the ball too long. He's either coming around a screen and shooting just after it, or he's coming around the screen and then dribbling once and then dishing it out to someone else, or hitting like Rashawn Holmes in the pocket pass or something like that. Just so impressive to see. And that's not really something that like a lot of other fans necessarily notice, right? Or like general basketball fans notice. But I don't know. Like, I've been there where I feel like I'm building towards something and then something goes awry and I have to start over, and maybe I come out stronger as a result, but mentally that's taxing. And especially in a season where everyone is being taxed mentally, I would love to get a top 5 pick. I'm just not convinced that that's the right thing to do anymore.
Really? I'm really surprised that you agree with me on this.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I've been thinking about it. Like, people are struggling right now. We're a year into the pandemic, dude. Like,
well, in a vacuum, though, forget the pandemic, forget players' feelings. For the direction of the Kings as an organization, do you still stand by that?
I would love to have Evan Mobley on this team. Love, love, love to have Evan Mobley on this team.
Yeah.
I would love...
Him or Jonathan Kuminga, one of those two, would just be absolutely incredible.
Yeah, if we can sneak into like a top 5 pick somehow, that would be insane. That's
kind of why I liked the like potential like Boston trade, where you can get another first rounder and then trade both of those to get like a top pick. Mm-hmm. I'd do that, but yeah.
Yeah.
But you're assuming that teams are A, willing to trade a top five pick in one of the best drafts we've seen recently, and B, that the Kings would even have a decent pick to entice someone with. Because to me, it's like we probably won't make a trade until the deadline, which it usually happens. If we keep playing 500 ball, I mean, our pick is going to be mediocre at best. Then we get a late first-round pick from Boston. If you trade those two together, maybe you could jump a couple picks. Maybe you throw a Bagley, you could jump a couple more. But I really just don't think we'll be in that top five range unless we get ping-pong ball luck.
Yeah.
So that's why we're like, what is it all really for? To get someone who's pretty good? Maybe, you know, it's still the draft. You never know.
Yeah. The other thing to note is that, like, I did a little bit of searching into kind of like successful trades of the past and teams who won out from trading like a veteran. And usually, like, not only like what I've looked into, and these players are a lot of the time higher profile, right? They're like Chris Paul, for example, super high profile, incomparable to Harrison Barnes. But they did get draft assets, they got picks, but they also got reliable assets that they could flip that other teams would be able to look at and be like, oh, that could be something. Whereas like receiving a first round draft pick from something, like, you never know what that, you don't know what that's going to be until the next season, really. And then they have to start playing, right? Like, so one, it's a matter of getting reliable, trusted assets. And then also, I think it's a little bit of an issue of just like, once you get that asset, you've got to nail the draft pick, and then you've got to develop them too.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Yeah. So
it's very risky, no doubt. I think if the Kings were losing like they were a few weeks ago, I'd be like, yeah, we suck. Like, clearly we didn't have a great pick. But now that they're rolling, it's like, okay, Fox is clearly an all-star. Halliburton is obviously ready to play big minutes like he already is. You know, Barnes is playing his best ball. Buddy Holmes, like, everyone's doing good, minus the bench obviously sucks. But like, to me, these guys, they're ready. Like, they're playing great. Why not just add to that and make a push? As long as that addition is worth it, obviously, and is not just like another role player.
Yeah. Quick aside, I just want to say, no one's talking about this, but Tyrese Halliburton should be in the mix for sixth man of the year. I know he's not.
That's interesting. Yeah, that's a cool, I like that. That's a cool take. Yeah,
he should absolutely be there. I get that Eric Gordon and Terrence Ross and Jordan Clarkson are playing awesome, but Tyrese Halliburton's got to be in there too. So that's an interesting conversation, right? Like, we're definitely at a crossroads more than we ever have been.
Yeah. McNair really has to make a decision about what he wants to do with this team, because it's now or never. Are we going to tank? Are we going to make a push? We know we don't want in the middle. We want either picks or we want playoffs. We don't want this crappy pick and the ninth seed again. We can't do that again. So I'm curious to see which direction he takes this team. Not an easy choice. I hope he makes the right one. But we'll see.
Well, speaking of all that, to kind of finish up tonight, I know Tyler had a specific trade idea that he had that could potentially solve these problems. So let's hear what you had to say about that.
Yeah, so pull it up here. So like I had mentioned earlier, I would love to see the Kings trade for Jeremy Grant. Obviously, he's having a breakout year in Detroit, playing like an all-star, doubling his points and rebounds. He's putting up like 24 and 6 a game. Great two-way guy. He's still only 26. Honestly, he's on a pretty good contract, 3 years, $19 million a year. Alvin's a huge fan. He saw this guy coming well before this year, so kudos to you, Alvin.
I wanted him when he was on the Thunder. I would have traded a lot for him.
Yep. And we know that Denver gave a first-round pick for Jeremy Grant. That was when he was putting up half the numbers he has right now. So, I mean, he's obviously worth double what he was at least. So I don't know exactly what this would be, but my thinking is you probably have to pry him away from Detroit, because I'm sure they're not just going to be like, yeah, take Jeremy Grant. So you might have to overpay a little bit. But my thinking is, if you can send them Bagley and filler of Jabari Parker and Corey Joseph, and either one or two first-round picks, and then you get back Jeremy Grant, DeLon Wright, and Wayne Ellington just to match for roster spots and salary, you could be starting Fox, Halliburton, Grant, Barnes, Holmes, with Buddy and DeLon Wright off the bench and whoever else we decide to pick up. And to me, that team is just absolutely kick-ass.
That's cool. That's so cool.
Second All-Star. Like I said, he's only 26, so he's only going to get better. He's Fox's running guy, or running mate for, you know, the second best player on the team. You have just unbelievable depth. And, I mean, that's a team that can definitely make the playoffs and still get better from there. Whether or not Detroit goes for that, I don't know. But I wanted to hear what you guys thought about that trade.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Absolutely. Yeah.
How many would you be willing to give up?
I think Bagley and two firsts would be as – I think that's I could do that. I'd do that without really thinking too much about it, honestly. Because, I mean, I know Bagley's value isn't super high right now, but it's like he still is like – was a second overall pick like 2 or 3 years ago. With still has crazy upside, and you know I'm sure their Detroit needs as many young assets as they can get at this point, because they're probably going to get the first overall pick. They're probably going to get like Cade Cunningham next year to pair, you know, you get him with Bagley and what's his face, the guy they drafted this year, the point guard. I mean, yeah, and you get two picks out of it. Like, I think that's pretty fair, all things considered. Like, Jeremy Grant doesn't really fit into their timeline right now. Like, they are in like as full rebuild mode as you can do right now, and Jeremy Grant does not fit that. So why not collect as many assets as you can?
You know, I feel so weird because as a Kings fan, we're usually picked on by other franchise, like fans of franchises who are just like, oh yeah, well, they'll trade Buddy Hield for a bag of chips and a protected second round pick and and all this other stuff. And it's weird to be on that other side where we're just like, oh yeah, like Pistons should do it just because it's cool. Like, here's my take. I think the only way the Pistons do this is somehow they get Blake Griffin in the trade. I think that's how it happens.
What's his contract like still?
$36.5 million over 2 years. I'm looking at the trade machine right now.
He's got
2 years.
Yeah, I'm looking this. I'm looking at this right now.
There's no way we could take him, I don't think.
Not with Barnes and Buddy still on contract. No, that's too
much. Because Fox is getting paid next year.
What if it was Bagley and three firsts?
Is that too much? I wonder.
I mean,
it depends on how protected they are.
Yeah, it comes.
That's
down
true.
So here's the trade. Oh man, this is a lot. Jeremy Grant and Blake Griffin for Bagley, Barnes, Kojo, and Bielitsa.
No, I'm not giving up Barnes.
I think that, I mean, that's, you have to give up Barnes or like Hield, basically.
Salary work, yeah. Yeah.
You would have to find a third team who could take on Blake Griffin's contract and probably get
which,
first
pick out. I don't know. I don't know who would do that.
Does it.
Yeah, I don't know what that would look like. But yeah, it's tough. I would love for the Pistons to do this. That would be insanely cool. I would do Bagley and two picks. I do Bagley, two picks, and Kojo for Jeremy Grant and like Frank Jackson. Does it have to be Frank Jackson? Does that, I don't know.
So
but,
mine was, it was Bagley, Kojo, Parker for Grant, DeLon Wright, and Wayne Ellington.
So
three for each for the roster spots and to match on salary, that's like pretty much equal.
So DeLon Wright's been closing for them, though, is the thing.
I would send him a second round pick or two for DeLon Wright if that's what they, if that's what it took, you know.
Yeah.
Get a Ute on the Kings.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Yeah, we're talking about all the Utes on this team. Right? All we need is Andre Miller. We need to talk about Andre Miller on this.
Maybe you had him here.
Yeah, which I definitely could. So, yeah, I would love for that to happen. That would be insane, and that would make us one of the best teams for sure.
Yeah, no Monty questions. McNair, go do it. Go get Jeremy Grant, please.
I'm so high on this trade for the Kings. Like, I want it to happen
tomorrow. That'd be awesome.
Or something similar. You know, if there's another guy out there we can get, we could just kind of push our chips in and say, we're ready. We need one more piece, and we're going to bench Buddy and start with Halliburton, rebuild our bench a bit, and we're going for it.
I think that's good. Yeah. I think you're good enough to do it at that point. Yeah. With Buddy as a six man, Halliburton as your starting two, and another guy of like that same level of like a Jeremy Grant or something, and he still is a decent age, like I'd totally do that.
What players have that profile, right? Like
he's the one, like,
yeah,
that I feel he is the one could potentially you could get. The other ones, I'm like, they're untouchable basically.
Yeah.
But yeah. He's gettable to me because of how bad Detroit is. Nobody else is letting it go without getting just an asinine amount of assets back. And I really wish that we didn't have that Bogdanovich trouble this summer, so we could have just got him ourselves. But
yeah, that would have been good. I'm firing up the trade machine really quick.
Here we go.
Here we go. Yeah, I'm coming. I'm about to come in real hot, real quick. Just so you see, it's a Bagley trade with Corey Joseph. And let's see. It looks like we got to send out someone else here. Okay. All right. So the trade is Corey Joseph, Marvin Bagley, and Justin James for... You guessed it, Frank Mason III and Aaron Gordon.
Okay.
So here's my reasoning. I've always been of the belief that Aaron Gordon needs to be freed. Similar to how Jeremy Grant was freed. Like, I know that they're not the same player, but I feel like he just needs to be in a different scenario. And I've always been of the mindset that, oh yeah, you can trade Buddy for Aaron Gordon. Like, that would be an awesome trade. I don't know if the Magic would do it, but if you trade Bagley and Kojo, who's essentially an expiring contract, you get off of him, you start over, you rebuild. They're not doing what Orlando's not playing well. You get another asset that's depreciated much like Markelle Fultz.
Yeah.
And you just start over again. And meanwhile, Aaron Gordon is like 25 years old, 6'8", 235, can handle the rock, can shoot, excellent defender. Excellent defender, both team and individually. He's not Jeremy Grant, but I think he can do a lot of the things that we're looking for there. And I think he's underrated too.
Is he a three-point shooter? I thought that his knock was he wasn't a good shooter.
He's inconsistent, but he has to be guarded. You have to guard him.
Respectable.
Yeah.
I'm 50-50 on that because I feel like Jeremy Grant is an all-star and Aaron Gordon, I mean, he's still young. It's riskier with Aaron Gordon than Jeremy Grant, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think he's enough. Whereas Grant is like, yeah, I'd go in all in on that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't hate it, definitely, but I'm not like as confident in the Kings making the playoffs. If it's Gordon, then Grant.
I think Gordon is someone that you can play like down the stretch, fourth quarter game. Like, whereas right now you're not. Bagley played, we have to say really quick, Bagley played so well against Joel Embiid.
Absolutely.
That was extremely Oh, I can't say enough how good that was. Like, shout out Marvin Bagley. Like, you really, like, rose stepping to the up. Occasion, stepped up against the potential MVP, and made a lot of really good things happen. But we're still talking about trading you, dude. I'm sorry.
Sorry, man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, exactly. So here's Aaron Gordon's stats in 20 games this year, because he's injured currently. So 27 minutes per game, 427 from the field, 370 from the 3-point line, 7.5 rebounds, 4.5 assists, a block and a steal, and 14 points per game. So it's off of his career highs for sure. But I think that's someone that we should look into for sure. I think
I'd definitely be interested in that.
His contract's not bad.
Well, we'll just have to wait and see. Trade deadline's in like a month, month and a half, something like that. So, yeah, Monty McNair, get some stuff going here. We gave you some suggestions, and you know, do with that as you will.
Yeah, just let us know what you're thinking. Hit us up if you have any questions.
Love to hear you back, you know. Yeah. Anyone listening, spam this, spread the word, hashtag, you know, Kings get Jeremy Grant. I don't know. Like, make it happen. Speak it into existence.
Hashtag free Jeremy.
That's I like that one. Let's go for that.
Yeah. That'd be great.
But let's make it happen. Well, I think that pretty much covers it. Is there any last like hot takes or anything you guys want to dish out before we kind of close up today's episode?
No, I think my hot take was the Kings should push for the playoffs.
So. Yeah, that's good.
Yeah, and I wasn't expecting to agree with that, but the more I talked, the more I agreed with it.
It's a crazy time we live in.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, what's your verdict? You were against it.
Looking at everything just based on the circumstances right now, I'm kind of at that point where I'm with you guys. As much as I've been like following this draft and like the players and everything, I don't see any way we can get a top pick out of just sheer luck or like blowing it up basically. So
don't blow it up if you don't have to.
Yeah, I'd rather just trade and get a Jeremy Grant or something. Yeah, and just keep being good.
If that's possible, I would be open to Aaron Gordon as a
I'd be down with that
great
too.
Value Jeremy Grant. I guess this is my hot take. Like, Aaron Gordon's gonna be good once he leaves the Magic.
Yeah, I could
get him
that.
Off the Magic. He'll be good.
He'd fit well with the Kings.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Awesome. Well, with that all being said, we will go ahead and close up this episode. For anyone listening, make sure if you're digging what you're hearing, you're picking up what we're putting down, make sure to subscribe. We'd love to, you know, continue to see support and all that kind of stuff. But yeah, thank you so much for listening, and we will catch y'all in the next one.
Word.
Later.
See you guys.